This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter.
Yep.
I just hit record.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Can you harmonize with me? Hi. Guys, can I tell you a story? I got real fucking sick of this bullshit podcast setup. And I did what any bold-faced American white man would do, which is not what I am. I used my goddamn hard-earned money and bought a goddamn new setup.
You bought a whole new setup.
I bought a whole new setup. We were, what, an hour ago going like, fuck this.
Well, we turned the computer on.
And there were instantly
problems.
Here's the thing. I know that a lot of you audio people, thank you for texting. Thank you for texting me. I gave up my phone number last week. No, thank you for tweeting at me and sending me emails at dynamicbanter@gmail.com, letting me know about your ideas about how my setup sucks and I'm a fucking idiot.
Was there a lot? What did they say?
Well, there were some. There were quite a few people that were like, dude, you can't use USB mics, man.
What did they say about them? Because I've had nothing but good luck.
Well, I thought it was a Mac thing, but apparently it's a PC thing, too. But basically, like, what happened was these USB microphones, when you start to do an aggregate device, which is we're getting into that
At least I know what you're saying.
When you get into that aggregate, so for those of you that are like, what the fuck are they talking about? An aggregate device is an audio setup in which
you can plug in more than one USB microphone
and
it becomes work.
Yes, and it becomes digital. It becomes digital out inputs.
Sure.
So if you have like three microphones and you want to record a podcast with three of your dumb friends, then you would need to set up an aggregate device where you create three digital line-in inputs for those microphones.
Okay.
And so what happened was that computers just don't like that, I guess, because it's like they're USB and the USB technology sucks or something. It's something about like having multiple setups that the computer just doesn't like.
Sure.
So
starts to get all wonkadoo.
I refuse to believe it. And like for those of you that listened to the Cloverfields podcast we did, for those of you that are just Dynamic Banter listeners, which I can't imagine how you would have found this and why you would be listening to this.
If you hadn't found Cloverfield.
Yeah, if you didn't at least know we were doing other podcasts. We have another podcast called Cloverfields, and we hadn't done one in a time,
no.
But we decided to do a commentary track for 10 Cloverfield Lane, which just came out. I used the USB setup.
Yeah.
And
it was a bit of a cluster.
No, it went off without a hitch.
I know, but just the setup.
The setup sucked because it's like I needed my fucking powered USB thing and I needed all this other shit.
Everyone's on vastly different sized microphones.
Yeah, but it worked out. It worked out for what it was.
Thankfully, because you never know. And we went for a while.
Somehow.
So it could have bugged out at any time. But it didn't.
Yes, it didn't. And it. Somehow we got a podcast out of it, and I'm thankful for that. But we tried to record earlier today this exact podcast you're listening to on the same setup because I thought I had figured it out. I did something right, and we got the fucking interference again. And so this was like, what, the seventh fucking time I've had that problem?
Something like that.
So it was just like, all right, what do I do? Mike, what's your setup? Because, Mike, you have a podcast with Zoya.
Roger.
What's that called?
It's called Welcome to Our Podcast. It's just we just talk to each other.
And
on the floor.
Your setup is you use a Zoom.
We have a Zoom, but not the newest one.
We have
an older, I think it's called the H4.
Right.
If that's correct. Mm-hmm. And we just plug two XLR mics into it.
And that's that.
And that's it.
And you're golden.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
So we went to Guitar Center. And I got the new Zoom.
The H6, is that what it's called?
Yeah, and it's beautiful. What a beautiful little thing. You've got your
it's the Cadillac of Zoom.
It is the Cadillac of Zoom. You've got your levels right up top.
Yeah.
You've got six input.
It's really wonderful. If any of you guys I know a lot of you will probably at least try podcasting at some point.
Probably.
I put out a video once called Not Everybody Needs a Podcast. that's not necessarily true. And if you have the means, if you want to save up and put a little bit of money into it, it's so, this thing is so cool, man.
It's so cool, man.
And it's so cool not to be able to use the computer until like the editing and the uploading
process.
It's
so nice. And I was just, you know, I was relying on my computer's abilities, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like when you eliminate the middleman, you don't have to worry, man.
Chuck Middleman.
You know what's funny? I remember like someone was saying to me back when you would buy a GPS. Which really wasn't that long ago.
No.
But everybody's phone has a fucking GPS in it now. And yeah. It works perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But when your phones first started to get GPS in them, they weren't that great.
Yeah. I remember I used to have a Samsung Galaxy, yeah. I think. And that was the first one with like a turn-by-turn GPS.
Yeah.
And I was real nervous to use it because it would destroy the battery. And, like, I would just, like, pull out of my driveway and take two turns and be lost. Then the phone would be dead.
Right.
And I eventually would also be dead.
And I think there was this whole thing about, like, go get a fucking GPS.
Yeah.
Like, your own dedicated GPS. Because if you get a piece of hardware that does one thing and one alone...
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
No.
And at the time it was true, but now it's like our phones have everything.
Yeah.
And so our phones can fucking edit whole movies.
You
and
were just saying how you do your own personal YouTube things on your phone.
All,
and I can't. Yeah. I've always been a desktop guy.
Well,
for
me
that.
Too, man. Me too. And I I used to edit all of my stuff using Premiere and then Final Cut or whatever. But you know, I started using iMovie. I started shooting everything with my phone, which has great quality shit. And then I started using iMovie. And, like, yeah, literally every single fucking vlog on my channel is created using my iPhone and 100%. And it's so easy. You just film your shit on your phone. You fucking learn iMovie. Easy as fuck to learn. Just take some time with it.
Aren't there, like, mad limitations on iMovie on your phone?
There are limitations, obviously, because you can't... There's a lot of shit you can't do, yes. But, like, I haven't had a problem with it at all. You've seen my vlogs. There's, like, weird editing and, like, fucking music and, like, sound effects and stuff. I did it all in iMovie on my phone.
But they're all, like, stock stuff?
Yeah, that's the thing.
This is an interesting, like...
Or I use stuff you bought from iTunes, but go ahead.
I was going to say, this is an interesting little, like... behind the scenes of just a regular, I don't talk about this kind of shit with too many people.
How come?
No, just about like shop YouTube stuff.
Yeah, like what's your...
Then it starts to sound like a job or whatever.
Right.
But I always kind of had a thing against, just for me, like stock sounds, any like, you know how people
use...
Yeah,
because everybody's using
music.
The same shit.
Right,
yeah.
Doesn't that like, I don't know.
Cheapen it?
Not cheapen it, but like if I wanted stuff to stand out, I wouldn't use the same music.
Yeah, yeah. But and you're right. Yes.
Doesn't it make you feel weird if you see the same music in like a bunch of different places?
Yes, and you're like, fuck, I recognize that music.
Yeah, right.
But I don't, because even like as a YouTuber, here we go. Even in your like creator studio, like if you have a YouTube channel,
yeah,
however big or small it is, as far as I know, you tell me if I'm wrong. You have access to like a audio library.
I think so. I've never messed around with it.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
There's like a fucking audio library, and there's sound effects, and there's music.
Okay.
And there's like, I don't know, like 200 tracks or
and
something.
You could just use them?
Yeah.
For free and monetize the video?
Yes.
Huh.
And it's all provided. I don't know if it's available to everybody of all subscriber counts, but
yeah,
as far as I know, I think so. So... There is a bunch of shit in there, but yeah, I think I've never actually used any of that stuff. What
See,
I have used
is
the iMovie stock stuff, which is like there's like I don't know, in the app there's like 25 sounds and then there's like very few musical tracks, but you can use anything from iTunes in it. But it, you know, if you're going to use that, then you're not going to be able to monetize your shit.
Right. So what's the...
But you can use the stock stuff, but like, or just don't use music. Like, so like sometimes I'll just like, or make your own music.
That's the thing. It's so, whenever I need like a weird sound effect or like a, I'm trying to think of a recent example, but I did, as a joke to one of our friends, I did a fake show theme just using my voice.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
And overdubbing my voice on GarageBand on the phone. And then, like, it's my ringtone now, and I could very easily use that
it for anything.
In a video.
Yeah.
And you can make your voice sound like anything.
Yeah.
You can make your voice, you could put a lot of distortion on it and make it sound like a guitar or whatever.
Not only that.
So you could do all this stuff if you want to take the extra couple minutes.
And if you're able to, if you know how to use all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I think you could even go so far as to record something in GarageBand on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And export it from GarageBand and use it in iMovie without ever touching a computer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
That's cool. Dude, there's this... we're not sponsored or anything.
No.
But there's this... can I talk about an app that I've been using that you don't want me to?
Yeah.
It's called...
Do it.
I'm gonna say it right now.
Go ahead. I want it.
Videorama.
I've heard of that.
It's a nice... it just kind of came out,
Tell me what it is. Describe it.
It's a video editing software.
I want to hear it.
Software and
tell me about it.
And you can edit different
videos. I
want to
know about it.
You can edit different videos.
Tell me. Tell me.
Videos.
Tell me. No, what it, so it's like an editing. It is editing software.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. And you could, it's easy to use and I like it.
Pardon me.
Pardon
me, I said.
Okay.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Do you want to move that closer to both of us? Because my ears are pulling towards the table.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
See that?
We're just learning this new setup, guys. Relax. I love using my shit. So you're saying that's another video editing software.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Nice.
So
just quick.
And check this out. There are apps where you can create your own music. Not even just GarageBand. You can use these like synthesizer apps and create little tunes that are like, you know, part of whatever. You know, maybe even like preset tunes.
What's the name of one of those?
Just anything. Like, I don't know. You could just go into the app store and type in synth app or like music and look through or just browse the music category. And,
I don't know. My problem is I don't know the names of any of them.
I don't either.
So I'm sitting here trying to synapsis. What do I search?
I don't know.
Do you have any of them?
I don't currently.
Okay.
No.
But you're saying like there's like synthesizer apps that you could use and export your own songs and use that as the
thing. And so and then once you've like filmed your shit, added your music in all in iMovie, all in your phone, sorry Android users. That's the thing. I remember, you know, Trisha Hirschberger, one of our good friends, she's a huge Android person. She loves Android. She fucking hates Apple. She doesn't want any Apple products. And one of the things I'd always throw back at her is there is no iMovie equivalent on the Android apps.
On the phone?
There's no equivalent to iMovie. There's nothing like it.
That's
there's little video editors or whatever, but nothing as intuitive and like easy to use as fucking iMovie.
Right.
And that's the one thing I feel like Mac does have over PC is their kind of proprietary app system.
Yeah.
I think their apps are just a little bit more intuitive and like the interface is nicer. Though if you're one of those like fucking dudes that can fucking monkey wrench your shit, make apps yourself and fucking customize your phone to like play specific songs when you touch a certain part of the screen and you want to fucking homebrew your own shit, then obviously Android's the way to go. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, this isn't that discussion. But Trisha, she said there's no equivalent. So I'm sorry for those of you that are on Android that are like, fuck, I don't want to make my own shit on my phone. I'm sure there's ways to do it. I just don't know how.
Maybe there are apps that we don't know about. That
I'm sure there are.
Incredibly easy and nice.
Oh, why not? Did Rig scare
you? Tell me that was your... foot.
No, it was Riggs.
I kicked Riggs in the face at least 3 times already.
I don't hear any whimpering, so
it's
fine.
Well, it's not like a kick. It's like I placed my foot onto his face three times.
Her it's
face.
A her.
Excuse me.
How dare you? Did you not see her vagina when she walked away?
I did. You know, it was the first thing I noticed.
It is. It's always the first thing you notice, the vagina on anybody.
You look me in the vagina and you tell me
pre
that.
Or post op.
Anywho.
So then, on the fucking iPhone, you've got your music, you got your edit, whatever. You can export directly to fucking YouTube.
That's fun.
And it's just, it's so fucking easy, man. And I love it. And so that's what my vlogs were. I haven't done them in forever. Don't fucking tell me that.
I'm asking.
Don't talk about it.
With my questions.
I'm not wanting to talk about it.
And one, two, and knock, knock. Here I come with the questions. When was the last time you made a vlog?
This interview's over.
Okay. What else do you? I got a couple things on the docket over here.
It's been a long time.
All right.
I
was just asking.
Can I tell you, man? The last thing I put up on my channel is my audition to the... What are you, vomiting over there?
You're right, Rig?
She's good.
I'm real sorry about the my foot situation. I want you to know that.
She's fine. Look at her.
She had an itch.
I put up a fucking audition for the new Mystery Science Theater show, which my manager hooked me up with.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the goddamn job.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I saw so I you went to a Mystery Science Theater thing.
I did recently. You took a picture? Yesterday. Yeah, I went to they had a telecast of their cast reunion.
Okay. So there was something like that available that you didn't get?
There's a new Mystery Science Theater show.
Yeah.
A revival. The cool. show's been off the air for a very long time.
And you wanted to be on that
and
show.
I wanted to try. Yeah, and I got an audition. And they just didn't like it. I didn't get any feedback at all, but I'm not on the show, so.
Did they make you do the thing?
No, I created it myself. They were like, you know, we were speaking to them and they hit me up, and I guess my manager knows Joel Hodson, the guy that like created the show.
Sure.
And he was like, you gotta take a look at my buddy Steve, my pal Steve. And he's like, all right, well, let me see what he's got. And I made this fucking audition. And I gave it to my manager, and he's like, this is great. This is perfect. Let me send it to Joel.
And they never said nothing.
And I think he was just like, it's great. It's really good. I like it. We'll be in touch. Hollywood speak.
Yeah.
I've heard it.
It happens
I've heard it. Yeah. A lot. I hear it a lot. But that's part of the biz, man. If you want to be in the biz.
Yeah. You know what people's new thing is with me that I've been seeing?
What is it?
They'll ask me or me and friends of mine. Really enthusiastically to write shows. They'd be like, we need something like this for this time.
Why don't you write a show?
We do. We write like treatments.
Oh, cool, man.
And then we give it to them, and then we never hear anything. It's like, please, please, please. And like, we'll do the treatments with you, and like, we'll work with you so we can get to a pilot and whatever.
Right.
And then it's just like, oh, you wanted it so bad. Yeah. And now I don't hear nothing. And then
that's Hollywood,
breaks.
Baby. You got ghosted.
It's fun to do it, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you gotta. They say it all the time. If you're gonna get into the biz, or I think this applies to most jobs or whatever,
most
but
businesses.
Like, you're gonna have some doors closed in your face.
Yeah.
In life, in almost every aspect.
If it's not supposed to be easy. Baby.
No. Yeah. There's a Jesus quote that's like, if it ain't, so I didn't make it.
What chapter is that in?
Forgetfulness. 22.
422. A letter from Forgetfulness.
A reading from the letter from the book of Forgetfulness. Chapter 2. Jesus said, forever, I'm about it. Forever. Amen.
Amen. And he stood on high, and he did say down to his disciples, do you remember when, not tonight. Amen.
Amen. Forgetfulness. That was my favorite chapter of the Bible. My favorite book of the Bible.
The book of Forgetfulness.
He said, there's some quote. It might not even be Jesus, but my mom had this fucking thing up in the house that was like an embroidered quote.
Yeah.
Embroidered quotes were like the thing, baby. Dude, those were the tits.
Our parents' generation loved embroidered quotes. Yeah. That was their gifs.
Yeah. That's their memes. The original memes were embroidered quotes. You'd walk into someone's house and be like, oh, shit.
Cool.
Yeah, home is where the heart is, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I will bless this house. What if I do?
Yeah, friendship is forever. It sure is.
What do you do on this? You play checkers on this? What do you do?
My mom had one with Jesus on it.
Yeah.
And it said, I never said it would be easy. I just said it would be worth it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a real Jesus quote or if just someone took
that
quote. That
was something he said after the Bible was written. It was one of his,
one of his newer things. It's one of his Tumblr posts.
He was on E. He's talking to somebody at Ryan Seacrest.
It's on his MySpace page.
He's like, yeah, you know, it's just, was creating the earth and all humanity and all being, was it tough? Well, yeah, it's tough, but, you know, it's worth it.
I never said it was easy. It's not easy. It's just worth it. It's going to be worth it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anyway, I got to go. I got 12 o'clock.
He's so busy.
He's a busy boy, Jesus is.
Yeah, good boy.
I just feel like, well, how did we even get to this discussion? What the fuck? How do we get to that?
because we're saying,
what a fucking
you
tangent.
Bought a Zoom.
I bought a Zoom, and somehow we're talking about Jesus quotes.
Jesus
now.
Was on E.
No, what we were talking about is that it's not easy getting into any industry. Yeah. And especially in the entertainment one, like with my Mystery Science Theater thing, like it's one of those things where like, fuck, I would kill to be on that show.
Yeah.
Like that's what I want, man. That's what I want. Yeah. I want to be on that show.
It seems like it would be perfect for you.
That's just what I would love it. I would love it so much.
Yeah.
And
we'll send them the podcast. We'll see what they think of the new setup.
Yeah. Maybe they like our new setup. Maybe they like the way we sound now.
I wish we didn't talk about sound so long at the top of the show, because now we got to send it out to the big execs.
Shit. Yeah. If we want them to hear this part, they're going to have to get through the sound shit and the Jesus quotes.
Maybe we can create an intro. Since if you're an executive,
skip to this time.
You're going to want to hit the 10 forward button a couple times.
But I, dude, I would kill to be on that show. And at the time that I was auditioning, they had already cast the lead guy, Jonah Ray, who has his own podcast and has been podcasting for quite a while and is a friend of the comedy community.
Cool.
I've never met him, but I know people who know him. But he had already been cast as the lead, and Felicia Day was cast as the bad guy.
Okay.
She's going to be the villain of the show.
Cool.
And this is just one of my favorite shows of all time coming back. The original creator is there, and it's
Well, maybe if it does well, you could be like a guest on it or something.
Yeah, I'd like that. I feel like I still have a chance maybe of some... Well, at the time that I was auditioning, they hadn't cast... In every season, the villain has like a sidekick.
Right.
Or two. In the first season, it was TV's Frank. It was this guy, Frank Conniff. And he was like the bumbling sidekick. And so I was thinking, well, they haven't cast a bumbling sidekick yet.
Yeah.
And Felicia Day has been cast, and I know Felicia. And, you know, maybe that's my in, like, to be her sidekick. Like, she's got to have a sidekick. They've got to have a sidekick. It's Mystery Science Theater. This is a bad guy sidekick.
Yeah.
So I made that audition to be a sidekick. I created this character named Chep Chenzels, Dr. Chep Chenzels, and he's this, like, deranged scientist guy, and I did a funny bit, and I mentioned Felicia as her character, and I was like, fuck, maybe I'll be the fucking henchman. I would love that. To be the bad... Like, that... I was like, fuck, I didn't get the lead guy. I didn't even try for it, but I didn't get it. That would be my dream role, but I would totally settle for being one of the bad guys. I would love that. And I was like, I'm even kind of TV's Frank-ish. I'm a little chunkier, and that's what he was. And I felt perfect. I felt so good about it. And I sent it off, and Joel was like, we'll be in touch. And I was like, this is fucking great! And then, like, 2 days later, they announced... that they have cast the henchman.
Oh, wow.
And guess who it is?
I don't want to guess.
Patton Oswalt.
No way.
Yeah.
Pretty good person to lose,
right?
To,
and so I was like, fuck, if I even had a chance.
Yeah.
It's okay that they chose Patton Oswalt.
So before I get too ahead of myself, I'm going to ask what everyone listening is probably asking. Would you release that on your channel?
It's released.
Oh, you put it out.
I decided since Joel was like, we'll be in touch, and since Patton Oswalt was cast, and I didn't hear anything else about it, they cast the two robot voices.
Yeah.
They basically have the cast.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to get this job, so I unprivate it.
Oh, nice. How long ago was that?
It was like 5 months ago, maybe.
Oh, well, I'm way, way, way late to the party.
And that's the last video I put
this week.
No, that was so long ago.
What the fuck was the picture that you posted of Mystery Science Theater this week?
So...
Oh, that was for the reunion.
That's a new event, a reunion, yeah. And so this was actually... So this reunion, for those of you that care at all...
Wow, I was just in a different space and time for
that. No, it's all right. It all connected. It's fine. We went on a journey and we're there now.
I wish I didn't bring it back up.
I'm glad you did, because now I'm going to say this. As much as I wanted to not like Jonah Ray in some way,
yeah.
Even though I'm not that type of person, but I'm just kind of like bitter that I don't get to be on that show at all.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wouldn't wish him to not be a good host, because then that would make the show bad, and I don't want that. And right. I love Joel, and I love everybody else. I love Felicia, or I like Felicia a lot. I don't love her. I don't know her that well, but I know her. But I like her a lot. She's very nice. But so Jonah Ray was there for the reunion, for the Mystery Science Theater reunion, including all the original cast from the first season and then the Mike season and everything.
Yeah.
And so Jonah Ray... came out and did his first... Basically, you know what Mystery Science Theater is. They make fun of movies and yep. shit. So for this event, they made fun of short educational films, and it was so fucking funny. Oh, okay. My God. If it becomes available in some way, you guys have to see it. And by the way, try out Riff Tracks. Go to Riff Tracks and check that out, because...
That's still going strong?
Oh, it's so, yeah, 10 years. This is their 10-year anniversary.
That's amazing.
So this whole reunion show was also like a 10-year anniversary for Riff Tracks. And they did this sizzle reel with like all the movies they've made fun of for the past 10 years. And oh my God, it's so good. I hope if that's not online, I'm going to be really sad, but I hope that sizzle reel is online, because it shows like when they did Titanic, and they even did The Force Awakens recently.
Oh, nice.
And it's just so fucking funny. So anyway, Jonah Ray came out with Joel Hodgson, the creator of Mystery Science Theater, and they both did like a short film riff together. And it was, like, so good. Jonah Ray was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. His jokes were great. His delivery's great.
And it's all, like, have they seen that film before?
Yeah, they watched it and wrote it all. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just like they did the show. They wrote all the jokes. See, that's not what we do, though.
No.
When we do it, it's all improvised.
Right, right,
which is a little more difficult.
I never knew with them. I figured they had at least been kind of prepped. Or at least seen it once.
Yeah.
At least had some kind of prior working knowledge.
You'd assume. But no, they watch them over and over and over and over again. And they
write stuff.
Yeah, they have like a team of writers.
Oh, wow. Imagine how good it would be.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like if you wrote it, yeah. If we were, we'll talk about this a little bit too, because we did the Cloverfields podcast. The last podcast we had John Goodman on.
Yeah.
And watched 10 Cloverfield Lane, and he watched it with us. But for those of you that are in the know, it wasn't really John Goodman. It was my very amazing friend, Blake Johnson.
I like Blake a lot.
Blake is my, like, he was, like, really my comedy mentor.
Yeah?
He, like...
I could see that.
I never went to improv. I never took improv classes.
You just hung out with Blake?
Ever. Yeah, I just hung out with Blake, and he was my improv teacher, more or less. He never really, like... I don't think he knew he was teaching me how to improvise, but...
Is he, like, what's his... background?
He grew up in Ventura, and that's where I met him. I lived in Oxnard, and when I was about 17, 18, my buddy Sean, who worked at Toys R Us, like one day I went to go visit him at Toys R Us, and he was like introducing me to his coworkers, and Blake was one of his coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced me to Blake, and Blake was like, oh my God, he's like, hey man, nice to meet you. And then whatever, Sean walks away, and I'm still hanging out with this Blake guy that I'd never met. And he leans over to me and he says, hey, so you're my brother, and we're going to go tell everybody else that you're my brother and you're visiting. And I was like, oh, okay. I'd never done anything like
that
before.
How old are you at this point?
17, maybe?
Okay.
Ish? 16? No, 17, 18.
Uh-huh.
Maybe even younger. Fuck. I don't know. Maybe I must have been 17.
Oh, 10.
Yeah, let's just say 10. And so he took me around to the rest of the employees and his manager and shit. So this is my brother Steve. And I was like, hey, I'm Blake's brother. And he would like, they would ask me shit. And I'd just be like looking up at him and he'd be like, yeah, do it. Make fun. Like, just do it. Go for it. And I would just be like, yeah, Blake's a big old galoot, man. He just is always, he's always pissing mom off. And he's like, no, I'm not. You're the one pissing mom off. And it was really like an improv game that we played together. And that was kind of like the first time I really kind of dabbled in improv, I guess. I'd always been doing like jokey shit and making fun of things and yelling at people in public, and
but never like in a low stakes situation.
No, never on an individual low stakes. Yeah, because I would, when I would go to Disneyland with like my cousin and my brother, I would do this thing where I would go up to somebody, a complete stranger, and go like, Diane? Yeah. Oh my God, Diane? Holy shit, I haven't seen you in forever.
Right.
And she'd be like, what? I'm not Diane. I'd be like, oh my God, Diane, like, what's up? What are you doing? Like, you still working at Ralph's? I was like, I don't think you know that's not who I am. And I go like, oh, Diane. Guys, Diane is always joking around. Like, oh my God, this is my brother Frank. It's my cousin Caesar.
So from a young age.
Yeah, I was always fucking things with people and doing shit like that, but I never really like honed in on any of it. Mm-hmm. I would just do it and it would make people laugh, and so I'd keep doing it.
Right.
But Blake really got me into kind of like the whole, he brought it into a whole more intimate level of
did
like,
he like perform?
No, like he was UCB? Just, so here's his thing. He was just a guy that lived in Ventura who like collected classic car. He had a Bluesmobile, a replica of the Bluesmobile from the Blues Brothers movie. And he was this fucking massive Blues Brothers fan. And he was like trying to get a little Blues Brothers like impersonator show together where he and like his pal would like go around doing Blues Brothers songs with like a band and shit.
Cool.
And so he was doing that for a while.
What
and
a cool like cover band. Like,
right?
If you
Blues
walked
Brothers
into a dive bar and there was like,
and there's the Blues guys Brothers doing band? Blues Brothers. Yeah. How That'd fucking awesome. Cool is that?
I would stay.
Me. But yeah, he did. So he would do that. And then eventually he got a job doing the Universal Studios Blues Brothers show. Do you remember that? In Universal Studios Hollywood?
Yeah.
Where the movies are made? Where you are part of the movies?
That are being made.
Do you remember the Blues Brothers show there?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was there. He was the Dan Aykroyd guy for years. And but he never took improv classes, never took acting classes. Was just a naturally funny guy. And so he and I became these kind of like this duo of like fucking, we were known around Ventura as like the fucking crazy guys. Like we were fucking always doing crazy shit. And eventually we actually came up with this weird stand-up show I never told you about where he was this character named High Five and my character was named The Kid and I was his brother. And I was basically mentally disabled.
I knew. Why did I know that you were going to say that?
It was okay to do that at the time. And we were just having fun with it. But he was basically my brother. His name was High Five. And he was like, he loved his little brother. So he took his little brother everywhere. And the reason why his name is High Five is because he claims he invented the high five. So his name is High Five Fontana. And so we did this like variety. We did this like crazy. His friend that worked at Universal was like, we're doing this variety show at the Universal Bar and Grill or whatever. Right. And he's like, you want to fucking come do a comedy bit for like 15 minutes? And when we like put this shit together and we did this fucking crazy thing where we like sang songs and like Owen was there playing the piano and like we were characters and we planted actors in the audience.
Did you like doing that?
Yeah, I loved it. It was so cool.
Why don't you do more of that shit now?
Time, baby.
Yeah.
Got no time. I got no time, man.
These mics are great for the close talking.
They're so good. These are SM58s. Anyway, so, dude, but one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten in my life happened at that show. And it was, we did this fucking thing where, like, we staged, oh, God, it was so weird. It was like, High Five was teaching me about love. And I was trying to go on my first date. And so we'd pick a girl out of the audience to come up. And he'd be like, all right, you got to test out your skills on this girl. Tell her you love her. And I go like, this was my voice as the kid. Well, I think you look like a bird. You look like a bird. And he'd be like, no, you can't say that to a girl, man. I go like, would you like some flowers? So what about some chocolates? Like, basically, it would be like that.
Yeah.
The whole time. And we'd be doing all these bits and routines. And then we planted this woman, this actress in the audience, who's actually YouTuber Nikki Philippi. Do you know her?
Nikki Philippi. I know her well.
Do you know her?
No, but I know her from the name.
Yeah, she's a YouTuber now, but at the time I didn't know it. And Blake knew her from working in Universal, I think. So we planted her in the audience as this pregnant woman. And then we had this other guy playing her husband. And during the show... The husband gets up and he goes, "Oh my God, do we have a doctor? Is there a doctor? My wife's about to have her baby." And I go like high five goes, "Is there a doctor in the house? Oh my God, this is crazy." And then I go like, "I can do it." And they go like, "No, Philbert, don't do it." His name was Philbert or Sid or something.
Yeah.
And so we brought her on stage and we staged a birth on stage. And we even had a fake baby come out and an umbilical cord. And Blake's a makeup guy too. He works with special effects and makeup and stuff and props. And he rigged it so there was like a little plunger on the baby so that it would like shit on my head. Like as soon as it was so elaborate and crazy. And so we did this show.
Is any of this on film?
Do actually have footage of it. Yeah.
I need to see
this. I'll show it to you. It's fucking crazy. And so the baby's born and I hold it above my head and we sing Circle of Life and a whole choir comes out and like it's like we do the whole Aunt Owen's playing the piano and like we do It's the Circle, Circle of Life. And I have the baby, Blake holds the baby above my head and then it just drops all this shit and piss on top of my head. And then it's like over, show's over. Everyone claps. It's like, what the fuck did we just see? The host comes up for the show and there's like pudding on the ground and like all this used condom, like a gross umbilical cord prop and like... He's like, what did we just see? So after that show, this guy, this complete stranger, comes up to us and he says, "You guys were amazing. You were so funny." This was before YouTube, by the way. Yeah. This was before I did SourceFed at all. This was like years before. And this guy comes over to me and he says to Blake and I, it's a compliment for both of us. He says, "You guys are like the bastard children of Andy Kaufman."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Dude, and it made me like, I was like, it fueled me up until today. I mean, it still fuels me.
What killed it today?
Like, you know, to this day, it still fuels me. It's still like what kind of keeps me going. Like, it's stuff like, it's not just that comment alone, but. Mm-hmm.
What a great compliment.
Right? And I was like, oh my God. And Blake and I looked at each other and we didn't react to it yet because we were still out and we were still celebrating and people were coming up to us and stuff. And so finally when Blake and I get back to his place, we're unloading all of our garbage, we look at each other and we're like, dude, that guy, he said we were the bastard children of Andy Kaufman. And we just sat with it and just kind of like took it in like, fuck, we gotta keep doing this. We can't stop.
So why'd you stop eventually? Well,
I mean, so much shit gets in the way, you know? Like, I was married at the time and there's the complications of that and like maintaining a thing and then like still trying to survive, like living in LA and like trying to like, I think I worked at Sony still at the time. And, you know, I had the corporate job and no time for anything and a wife and all this other shit. And like it just slipped through the cracks, you know, but eventually, you know, I got the YouTube thing and now I'm okay. But Blake and I kind of fell out. Mm-hmm. We stopped working together because, you know, life right. happened and we kind of went our separate ways. And just, you know, I'd been thinking about him recently, thinking about how we lost touch you know, I reconnected with him and was like, dude, we like used to make amazing shit, dude, just for us. He in fact, I've talked about him more or less on the podcast before, because we talked about how when eventually we do the commentarium, which we're still going to do, by the way,
well, the Cloverfield one, in my mind, is kind of like the first one.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
We could talk a little bit more about that to clarify. But when I was talking about how much I wanted to do commentarium and how much I've always wanted to like make it work that my friends and I make fun of movies together and put it up on the internet, mm-hmm. Blake was one of those guys that we would just do it in my room. We would watch a movie and record our own fake commentary where we would both pretend to be different people involved in the production and we just make each other laugh. It was just for us.
Yeah.
And you know, so I hit him up and I was like, dude, like we were unstoppable, man. We made some funny shit together. Like, let's fucking do it. Let's get back to work.
identify with the feeling of doing something like that for you and not for YouTube or...
It's so hard to think about it now.
Right? Everything is for something. There's nothing that just like... I don't know. There's things in passing.
Yeah.
Like if we play video games, we put on a voice for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's that? But then it almost immediately goes into like, can we write that into like a nuclear family?
How do we
sketch?
Monetize this?
Is that stand up?
You're right.
Well,
I mean,
to be fair, it's not always about
money. Right. No, it's not always about money.
But
it's about engagement or something.
Right. I meant more like putting it up for everybody.
Right. Well, a good example would be so Bree and I were at some Rocket Fizz place where they sell like soda and candy and weird toys and stuff.
Yeah.
And we saw those Japanese kits that they're from Japan and you can like make tiny foods.
Yeah.
And like Bree was like, I have no idea. Like I picked one up and I was like, oh my God, I love these. These are so ridiculous. Like I used to make these with my buddies at Sony and they're so funny. Like we just laugh about it. And Bree was like, I've never seen this before. This is hilarious. And I was like, we got to make some.
Yeah.
Riggs.
We got a Riggs.
I am going to put you in the trash chute.
Face down.
Riggs, you're going in the piano. And I'm going to slam the lid.
I'm going to play my favorite song.
Riggs, you're going next to them peas in the freezer. You're going to be in there for three. That's 3 minutes.
We're going
to
call you Peaser.
You can put a dog in the freezer for 3 minutes to teach it a lesson. It's just 3 minutes.
It's just a cold dog.
It'll just give him a brain freeze. Just kidding. Never do that. I don't do that. I've never done that.
Don't do that. We're not going to do it now. Don't do it.
If you think I've done that, then there's something wrong with you because I would never. That's awful. So Bree had never seen those before. And so I was like, we got to make them. She was like, yeah, let's just get a bunch of them and we'll make them together. And I was like, the next thing I said was, we can stream it. We could stream us making these things. It'd be so fun.
Yeah.
And Bree was just like,
why
there
you got to
do that?
Yeah,
why
there
you got to do that? Why you got to turn it into that?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's still us doing something fun together. It's just that how fun would it be to watch us do that? We would have so much fun and everyone would love it.
You're not wrong,
but it's,
you see what happens.
Right?
Yeah.
We can't disconnect.
No.
It's in our blood now.
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
If it was something fun, it doesn't make sense for us now not to make it into something.
But because you want to remember it too.
Like I wouldn't come over and dress like Wrestling Fred and do DVD commentary with you for no one.
Right.
And I don't know if that's okay because we're grown men. Well, it's already not okay to dress like a wrestler if you're not.
I would so do that. And
no,
I would love it.
We would do it.
Yeah, and I would love it.
But we wouldn't do it like every Saturday.
No, because then that gets weird. Then it's like, all right, are we practicing for something? Or are we?
So maybe this is full circle. Like, that's what made your birthday roast the most amazing thing. Because
dude,
it wasn't
for
any.
Which, like, I have to thank Bree for.
Yeah.
Because that was Bree's thing. Like, Bree is very much like, this is what I love about Bree. I love a lot of things about her, but she's very, like...
Name everything, or it's going to be bad.
Well, it's going to be a huge list, and some of it's going to be inappropriate. but I will say that she's so unique in the way that, like, she's a modern girl who's 26 years old, who isn't, like, glued to her phone.
Yeah.
And isn't, like, internet crazy. And isn't, like, my brand! And isn't, like, posting things all day. In fact, I do that. I'm that. I'm the fucking 20-year-old girl in the fucking aughts. Going, like, hold on, I gotta make this Instagram post. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And it's so refreshing and unique and weird that this is a modern girl that's not like fucking internet crazy. And so she's very much the type of person, sometimes to my chagrin, where she's like, we'll go and take trips together. We'll go to like Idlewild or something. And she'll be like, here's a suggestion. Let's not take our phones.
Yeah. How about that?
And I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't
like
that you don't
phone.
Like it. I'm getting
a
text.
Like,
give me a second.
You know what's funny, man? All of my friends are like, yeah, what if we just go for a hike and we don't take our phones?
Yeah.
And everyone's down, but like I'm not down. I don't like that. And why does it matter?
Why don't you like it bad enough to not do it for an hour?
Well, I could do it, and it's not like a problem. It's not like, oh man, I need my fix or whatever. I could definitely do it. Yeah. It's just that, like, why not?
Because
what's
it's
really
nice
the
to
problem.
You know what the problem is? It's we get, and I've heard other people talk about this before, but it's like, it's to the point now where we get whatever we want from our phone and it hurts our other interactions. Like if we want admiration, we don't go out and we work for admiration. You take a picture of yourself and you put it on Instagram and you.
Yeah, but the way I see it, I'm sorry, were you done with your point?
I had a bunch of other examples.
Go for it.
You go, you see a kitten.
And you miss it. Your friend misses the kitten.
You miss a kitten. It makes you not want to get a kitten. I had a bunch of them.
A bunch of kittens?
No, a bunch of examples.
Let's hear them.
Well, I don't want to say them now.
I just feel like while I'm doing it, I feel like I'm just going to do this for a minute.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come right back to you.
You don't feel out of control.
Yeah, no.
You never do until you know.
But like this is the thing though. Personally, and I've known people like this, where you go to lunch, and it's just you and another person, and you're fucking waiting for your food, and you're chatting it up, and you're talking about great shit, being jovial, it's nice. And then they pull out their phone, and then they fucking start texting people or whatever. And I don't care. It doesn't bother me, even a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, I don't want to be the guy. Like, I'm happy not being the guy that's like, oh, you just, it's more interesting on your phone, huh? Oh, well, your friend's not. Oh, well, I guess you don't, you know, well, you're not going to talk to me, huh? Right. I would never do that. I don't care.
Everybody, no one has to be any kind of a way.
Sure.
You know?
But like, but you're telling me, like, why aren't you the kind of person that's okay with, like, that would be down with not taking your phone?
I just really, I like different things.
Yeah.
I like being on my phone a lot. I like having an idea for in an Instagram thing or like a stand-up flyer and sitting down, taking a picture and going somewhere and grabbing a cup of coffee and being like, I'm going to make this thing.
Yes.
There's
and
a
I
time
love
and a place for that. Yeah. I also get very nostalgic about like the 90s when nobody had a cell phone and person-to-person interaction was very different.
But like, what's the point of like going like, oh, the good old days when they were in a phone?
I don't want them back. I'm just like, remember fucking rotary phones?
But
and I like it. It feels, it gives you a feeling.
Yeah.
What's to say that feeling is any less worth fucking? What is to say that feeling has less value than the feeling of doing something on your phone? Like my longing for a
That's fine, but if it becomes a thing where like you're then judging people.
No. Well, like, it depends. If somebody's fucking really up their phone's ass, that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, look,
there's a way not to be rude with everything in life.
Yes,
and you can
agreed.
Definitely be rude with your phone.
But I'm just saying that, like, personally, I don't find it rude if someone wants to pull out their phone while we're having dinner to like check their shit.
Right. But I mean, it's all relative. It's like, what if you're telling I've been
What if
part
you're,
of
like,
a
telling
con-
a good
dude,
story
I've been
something?
Part of a conversation where it's like, I went home to see a bunch of my friends and somebody was there and they asked me about me to catch up and then immediately started going through their phone like while I was answering
the
question.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So that's the kind of
all
when
right,
we have this right, kind of conversation.
That's
right,
up.
Right. When we
but
have
that's blatantly rude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like too yeah rude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's seriously like you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Like and the person who you did that to has every right to be like, you're an asshole.
So when we have this conversation, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. Not like I don't know.
But like I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna be like, oh yeah, something's really bothering you? Hey, let me check my tweets. Like, I don't do that. Like, if there's a fucking lull in the conversation,
yeah,
and no one's saying anything,
you don't think
and
there's
you're just
something
fucking looking around? But like, do I have to be the one that says something?
But
if you're not saying something,
there's something to be said for having the human interpersonal communication skills to fight through a lull and to find a connection with another person.
Why not let the lull organically happens?
That's
with
a
the
skill.
Lull.
And when the solar flare hits the earth and everybody's fucking phone goes out, and you're not gonna remember how to speak to people.
But see, that's the thing. Like,
never fought through a lull.
But I haven't lost touch with humanity.
I know. I'm not. You're also taking this very personally.
Because, like, I think there's too many people in my life that are like, ooh, put your phone down for a second. So it's like, maybe. Okay,
you know how you know you have a problem? You
when
have
someone
too many
says,
of those
too many people
in your life.
Yeah, but like.
Fight through the lull.
I just feel like. There's times to do that. And then there's times to not do that.
Yes.
And I don't really do it when there's times to not do it.
It sounds like if you didn't do that,
I wouldn't be saying it.
You wouldn't have so many people saying that to you, because I don't have a lot of people saying that to me.
I think I have people who are ultra sensitive to it in my life.
How many people? If you can only know 40 people and 25 people are ultra sensitive to it,
you know what?
You're
okay,
fucking
okay,
up.
Okay, okay. There's one person in particular who's very sensitive about it.
Yeah.
And then there's another person who's like you, where they're like, yeah, let's leave our fucking phone in the car while we go hiking.
Why not?
Like, that's like, those are the two extremes I have.
Okay.
So, like, there really is only one person who's, like, really digging it into me about the phone usage.
But you're very close to that person.
I'm very close to that person.
Would you say that person's beautiful?
This interview's over.
I'm not asking you to tell me who it is, but I'm asking you if you kiss that person.
I think my mom's very beautiful, yes. And I have kissed my mom.
Oh, my goodness. I feel bad when I'm home and I'm on my phone near my parents at all.
Really?
I do it. And then afterwards, I feel bad because I'm like, I don't live here anymore. And I want to
have all the time. You want to be around for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they're very far away.
That's the nice thing. That's a very nice thing.
But it's not nice enough to stop doing it.
How close are you with your parents?
Very. Very.
To the point where you guys discuss, like, relationship stuff? Close?
To a certain extent. I wouldn't discuss, like, sexual things with my parents, I don't think.
But, like, would you, like, back in the day, would you be like, yeah, I'm kind of seeing this girl, but she's not really my girlfriend. But
yeah,
I'm just
my dad had a thing. My dad was the last person to call any of my girlfriend's girlfriends. They're like, oh, there's your friend Jen.
Oh, right, right.
It was like that.
So what about your mom? Would you talk to her about that kind of stuff? Would you be like, oh, there's a girl I'm seeing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't do that with my parents.
Okay.
But we're close and we love each other and I love them very much. I have no animosity or anger or anything like that. But we don't have that kind of relationship. We don't have the, like, I can sit down with my mom and be like, well, now we do. Now we do. But the reason why I say that is because I feel like I'm very different than my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm the audience that knows me knows this, like, very crazy, unhinged, like, wacky guy. And my parents, when I'm, like, as an adult now around them, they see me as this kind of subdued, I love you guys, I don't really joke around guy.
Okay.
They see a side of me that, like, probably no one will ever really see.
Uh-huh.
Which is just kind of like a, I'm not entertaining anybody here version.
Shut off.
Yeah, like a super shut off that you'll never see.
Yeah.
You
don't try to make your parents laugh?
Yeah, yeah, I do. And I do make them laugh and we joke, but the things they laugh at are very different from the things that I truly laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I like to laugh at. So because of that, when I visit them, it's very much like a talking to shop situation and like not really like a hanging out with your friends type situation.
Uh-huh.
So it would usually end up on the phone eventually because it's like we've talked about everything that's happened in my life since last week.
Now we're just hanging out.
Now we're just
room.
Like in the same room. Yeah.
Right.
But you're right. You don't want to like, you know, your parent, like
I just
the older
don't
want to
miss any knowledge.
Yeah.
What if, because my parents both And I don't know that they do this on purpose, but they'll both just like come out with shit. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've never saved a nickel when I haven't earned a penny or some shit like that. But it all makes perfect sense and it applies to like every situation you've ever had a problem with.
Yeah.
And I don't want
to
miss
it. They've got an answer
to
every problem.
Yeah, yeah.
With a fun little limerick or rhyme you can remember.
They could. Not all of them are fun.
But
some
you don't
are just
miss
like,
them.
Well, you don't want to put electric things in your mouth. Like, they're all helpful, but they don't have to like have the poetic swing to it.
But you don't want to miss the zingers.
Right.
Yeah.
They're always, they say so much between them both, man. And they've told me shit recently that has made me feel better about things in my adult life. Like, we have a very weird career trajectory.
Yes, we do.
We're like the first people with these careers. You know what I'm saying? There isn't like another generation of YouTube people or whatever that we could like, oh, they did this or whatever.
I guess the closest thing you could equate it to would be like public access television becoming popular television.
YouTube is like nothing like public access.
But I mean like anyone could
do
it.
No one's ever made a career. There's Bob Ross and no one else.
Well,
Jerry
I feel like you could. Well, yeah, I mean, there has been. There's definitely.
From public access?
Yeah. Even the Mystery Science Theater guys to kind of bring it back.
Oh, is
started
that?
Doing it on
well, I don't
access.
Fucking know anything.
There's got to be more, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, then great.
I mean, that's the only thing I can equate it to, but you're right. There's nothing. There has never been anything like your phone can make something that billions of people can see within a matter of seconds.
Right. So.
And then you make that into a career.
Right.
You're talking about your parents.
Now, where was I going with
you're
this?
Talking about your family and how you were going to talk to them about your career.
Oh. So, like, we don't, you know, I'm 31, but, like, I don't have a house.
Right, or kids.
You know,
or
kids.
Yeah.
And we never really had an excuse to talk to each other about where they were at when they were in their early 30s.
Because you're a kid. And you
wanna... But now we have, and they were like, yeah, we didn't have any money, and, like, you were on the way. And we still didn't have any money, and we were in this small, like, rent-controlled apartment. And then we, like, instead of buying a house, we bought a condo, and we didn't have any money. And, like, all this shit. And, like, I get worried about, because me and Zoe are going to get married.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
This is how I find out, huh?
This is how you find out. Also, the engagement
a long time ago
was that.
This is with everyone listening right now, strangers. You tell me amongst strangers.
Well, they're not hearing it yet. We still have to upload it. So you're.
Oh, I'm putting it up.
Yeah, but right now.
Yeah, it's going up.
You're the only one hearing it right now.
Everyone's
is what I'm
saying. Listening to this right now.
So at my age now, my parents didn't have any money and they had a baby on the way.
We're time travelers. We're in the
you
future
are
right
hearing
now.
It by yourself before anybody
we're
else
we're in
hears
the future because they're hearing it right now.
Do I have a
true
kid?
Or false? They're hearing it right now.
I honestly don't.
Someone is listening to this on their headsets. Hi, Nikki. And they know.
Do you think Robert's listening right now?
Yes, right now.
Robert.
So that's how I'm finding out.
If your name is Robert and you're listening to this podcast, I'm behind you. Turn around right now.
Kiss him. Give a kiss. Run away. Run. You don't need that moment.
Run away.
So anyway, you don't have kids, whatever. You're getting married. You're going to get married.
Yeah. But it's nice to hear, like, I don't know. I always thought in my mind, like, my parents were all set up.
Right? You like to think that.
Yeah. They were all set up and they never worried about shit. And then I used to call my mom when I was worried about money all the time, like, right out of college and when I started quitting more traditional jobs to just do music and comedy and stuff like that. I would, you know, I've had many nights crying to my mother about how I'm never going to have any money. But you'd work hard and things happen eventually.
Yeah. It's and it is interesting when you're a kid, you don't really think about your family's finances.
Mm-mm.
And you don't think about like where you're living really.
Yeah.
You do though, like, go to a friend's house and you're like, oh, this is different than my house.
Yeah.
Or like, whoa, you have cooler stuff than I have.
Yeah. Oh, you have Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Yeah. Well, I've got like a Tiger Double Dragon game that I found
I thought you
at
said
a fucking DZ where kids want to be.
And the left button does not work at all.
But I can still play it. You thought I was saying that I had a tiger, a real tiger?
You went to a friend's house.
I got a tiger.
You're like, I got Super Nintendo and Genesis. I got a tiger.
Mic drop.
Don't, they're new.
Eat that, bitch. But yeah, you're right. But you just wouldn't think about that stuff.
No.
But, you know, it's important to kind of like, you know, understand that your parents went through this shit too. When you're like, oh, I'm fucking depressed and sad and everyone hates me, or I did something embarrassing, or this girl doesn't like me, or this guy doesn't like me, or whatever. Your parents very likely went through the same shit.
That's why I always got like, I never understood why people are so quick to dismiss what their parents. I know it's all relative.
It's because you're a kid, man. You don't know. You learn. That's how you learn.
If you're 13, 14, and you're giving your parents lip, like, you've never been through and your parents are like 30, 40.
Yeah. They're
twice you.
Yeah.
What makes you think they haven't been through multiple horrible things?
Right.
More than you'll ever, not ever, but more than you could possibly understand at
right.
this point.
And they don't, you think they know everything and you think they're so smart and like they have all the answers and. But like, you're going to be that someday.
Yeah.
You're like, think about it. You're mom and dad. You're going to be a dad or a mom to somebody.
I might be a mom to someone.
You could be. If you want that. But, you know, or you could like not. But like, you're going to meet people in your life that like you could influence. And like, I don't know. We've all been there, man. Like when I was a kid, you're right. I wasn't thinking about how like my dad probably went through this shit.
Yeah.
Into some capacity, but you know, you're not thinking about that, man. Hormones and shit are going on.
Yeah, it's too busy being horny.
Horny. Too busy rubbing my leg on the fridge. Too busy getting mama's baby oil and taking it downstairs.
Las Vegas. Rub your leg on the fridge.
Rub your leg on our fridge. Come on in.
Rub your leg on our fridge.
Rub your leg on our fridge. We had so... Okay. It's an hour.
I want to do this all night because everything is new.
Right? This is so nice. I want to keep going.
We're doing great.
This little product is so nice. I want to keep going. Do you guys like the quality? It's a new setup. Two XLR mics. Little Zoom. Just going directly into a little MC. That's a memory card. No computer garbage. Got a dog growling in the background. That's not for everyone. But we, like, before we started this podcast, you decided to do the responsible thing.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of make a bullet point checklist of the things we're going to talk about. And we didn't talk about any of those
things. We talked about some stuff. We talked about the Cloverfield commentary.
Yeah, but, like, not really.
Yeah, we did. We did a Cloverfield commentary. Cloverfield 10. With Blake.
Yeah.
With John Goodman.
Blake Johnson.
Go listen to that. And that was, I'm saying it right now, putting the foot down, that was the first episode of the commentarium.
Okay, there it is. So let's talk about that really quick.
Can I cross it off the list?
Yes. So the commentarium is something we talked about doing. That's where we do a commentary track. It's still taking forever to cross it out.
Crossed off.
So Mike would like to consider the latest episode of Cloverfields, which is our other podcast, the first official commentarium episode.
I know it's not super official, but we did that.
But I also want you guys to know that, you know, maybe that's not your bag, where we like have a famous actor there to like joke around with the movie with us, and maybe you don't want us to joke around with the movie so much as to kind of observe and like directly, or you maybe want us to directly make fun of the movie and not do bits and shit. Well, I want you guys to know that when the commentarium is fully up and running, full speed ahead, it's not always going to be like that. It could just be like friends like talking about a movie or whatever.
Great.
We should do a history road.
Okay, did you not want to go down any
go
of
ahead.
The other bullet
yeah,
points?
Yeah, go ahead. What else? What were the other bullet points?
One of them says, I freak out too much when bugs fly near me. Too much.
Is this just an idea? A personal idea you had?
That was a random thought. that I wrote on this paper.
Can I say something?
Yeah, it's a podcast.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
A lot. I get very afraid.
You agree that I do it? Oh, okay.
No,
good.
I get very afraid of flying bugs.
Yeah.
Flies initially scare me.
One time I went to this place called Crave, where the line is usually out the door.
Yeah.
And I was standing on line, and there was a couple behind me, a couple in front of me, and one of those big June bug beetles came in, and they're very loud.
And very loud.
Like,
and
little
they're
helicopters,
big.
And they're very big, and they're very shiny, and like they're so big that you could see like their features when they're flying around.
You could see them smile at you.
So this bug comes in and is like is going around and around the ceiling, and then it goes out, you know, does what a bug does.
Yeah.
And then it comes back in again when they're kind of scoping out. I would love to know why they scope out different places like that.
Okay.
But they do a couple flybys.
Sure, there's some science behind it.
Sure. And then he started going real low to the ground, but still flying, to the point where, like, the people who were just looking up at the menu, he was just flying in and out of, like, their legs, and people were none the wiser. He would go through their legs and around their socks and out again.
Right.
I was the only person noticing this.
Freaking the fuck out?
I was freaking out, but I was surrounded by people, so I can't sweat or move or whatever. I tried to take a couple steps to the left or right.
Yeah.
And try not to be too weird. And then it came right towards me, and I kicked it a little bit.
Really?
In the face.
What happened?
It was coming right at me. I couldn't not anymore. I couldn't, like, let it hit me in the knee.
Yeah.
I didn't want.
You didn't
want to
deal with it.
Me.
You didn't want to
I
deal
kicked
with
it in its little face.
It, did it fly off?
Yeah, it kind of stumbled back a little bit, and then it made a louder noise, and it went out, and it didn't come back in. And the guy behind me goes, "Oh, don't kick that."
What? What is he? The fucking prospector? The
no,
fucking
but I thought.
The harbinger?
Oh, you're not going to want to kick that.
Oh, you're not going to want to kick that.
That's going to come back with a family.
Well, yeah, why? Why not? First of all, that
I
guy is a fucking moron.
He said it in a way that he knew something that I didn't know.
All right, well, guess what? He's wrong, because June bugs can't do shit.
Okay. I did feel bad for kicking a thing.
I believe the worst thing that could happen is maybe a little bite, but I don't know. I've never heard of a June bug bite. Have you?
It's just a big beetle. I don't know
what
they
do. Let's talk about this for a second.
I really do. I want to make that ultra clear that I do feel bad for kicking it.
Okay.
Because it reacted to the kick.
I think you're safe. No one's going to come after you. Let me say this. Get it. Totally get it. I've been there.
Would you have kicked it?
No. Sure. No. But I think we have different levels of, like, tolerance for bugs.
You would have
let sounds it,
like, land on you.
Here's what I want to say about it.
Big.
I've been there. Scared of June bugs. I've been scared of them. They're big. They're huge. And they do. They're like the fucking scarabs from The Mummy.
Yeah, and they're fearless.
They're like real scarabs.
Yeah.
Egyptian terrifying scarabs.
Scaribs.
Scary ribs. Come to Chili's and try the scary ribs. They should do that around Halloween.
I want my baby back. Baby.
Scary ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
Listen, I get it. I've been scared of a beetle in my life. I'll admit it.
George.
But the second you know it's not one of the stinging ones, I'm like, way okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like even if it's near me. Like, it's a little like, I don't like it. Like, when it comes close to your head and stuff, like, I don't like
that.
See,
that's the other thing, is that I've had multiple bugs throughout the course of my head get caught in my hair.
Ooh.
And they don't know the way out. And they're just in there. Then you have a bug in your hair.
I
also don't want
one.
That.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
See?
That's a new one.
The girls, the females know it. Long-haired females.
Shit.
Long-haired
males.
Yeah,
I don't know that one. But I don't like it when bugs are flying around my face.
No.
Including flies. But that's funny because there's no harm, really, a June bug can do.
Yeah, it's just bigger than your average.
Yeah, and it's a little scary, but that guy who was like, "You don't want to do that." That guy's an idiot.
He knows. He said it like he knew something.
Yeah, but like what? Like
I don't know.
So I'm afraid of the stinging ones.
Yeah.
Like irrationally afraid of the stinging ones.
Wops.
Like, I was in a pool the other day with Bree, and we were like, there was a bee in the pool, and she was like, oh, you gotta save the bee. And I was like, oh no, definitely not gonna save the bee. And she's like,
you gotta save the bee.
Oh, you're gonna. And she was like, no, you gotta scoop it out. Come on, scoop it out. It's gonna die. And I was like, oh.
You scoop it out.
Don't want to upset girl. Yeah. But don't want to touch bug that could sting me. Also don't want to be a pussy. Don't want my girl to think I'm too much of a pussy to not pull a fucking bee out of the pool.
Why are there always bees in the pool, man?
I don't know. They're weird. It's like they're attracted to the chlorine or something.
They love the pool.
Bees are real dumb. They like sting you even though they know, they should know they're going to die.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't want to like be a pussy. I didn't want my girl to be like, ew, you're a pussy. Or like, you know, you're not going to like, if you're afraid of a fucking bee, then how are you going to like stand up for me if I need it?
Right.
Which she wouldn't need. She's a tough girl. But I just didn't want to, like, there were so many ideas in my head.
Yeah.
Don't want to upset girlfriend. Don't want to get stung. Don't want to seem like a pussy.
You didn't want to do lift and splash?
Yeah, no, because it's like so close. It's too close.
Yeah.
And like bees that are like dying or like scared, they'll just fucking sting.
So how did this end?
So I fucking scooped it out and fucking splashed it onto the fucking side.
Scoop
and we
splash.
Like watched it struggle and die basically. Like regardless of like if I fucking saved it or not. I don't know. I guess I scored points or something. I don't know. Did I help? I don't know. The point is I did something that my girlfriend asked, and that's what the good part of the story is.
Yeah.
But there's a PS to that story.
Uh-huh.
The next day, I went to go work at Mostly Harmless, Comic-Con-HQ, or Comic-Con-HQ.com. It's a new show I'm on. And one of the guys, one of the producers, was like, we were talking about bees, and my producer was like, oh, man, fucking Jeremy got fucking stung by a bee the other day. Jeremy, tell him the story. And I was like, Jeremy, you got stung by a bee? And he's like, yeah, fucking.
Someone threw one at me. I was sitting next to my pool.
No, check this out. He said, I was in the pool, and there was a fucking bee, and my girl was like, you got to get the bee out.
No
I was
way.
Like, swear to God. I was like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, so I fucking cupped the bee, and it fucking stung me. I was like, well, there it is.
Yeah.
I was like, where the fuck is Bree? So I could be like, see?
Yeah, could have happened. Could have been me.
But then he did the thing where he was like, because I felt validated completely.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I was right.
Yeah.
I should have fucking scooped that bee out. I could have gotten stung.
He's like, but I did smack it in the face.
No, it all went the way that he fucking did it. He sure. said it. But he was like, what was the end result? He fucking got stung by a bee. And he's like, yeah, I fucking got stung by a bee. It sucks. Anyway, back to work. Let's go. And I was like,
not that big
shit,
a deal.
That's the result of that.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of whether I was right, I would have been stung.
And that guy has like a war wound for his
yeah,
girl.
And he's a dude. He's a guy that doesn't give a shit.
It's a badge of honor.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, maybe I was right. Maybe I shouldn't have tried to scoop the bee out. But, like, the worst that could have happened was I would have been stung by a bee, which would have sucked.
And you would have had something to show for it in a better story.
Right, sure. Maybe it'd be a better story, but it's like, I don't want to get stung by a fucking bee.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stung by a bee.
Right.
And that's why I fucking hate bees, because I don't know when I could get stung, but that's my bee story.
All right, let's move on.
That's my time.
Favorite smell? Mine's Christmas. Go ahead.
That's not fair. You had time to think about it.
I didn't think for very long, if that helps.
I think one of my favorite smells is firewood.
Yeah.
Like camping smell.
Yeah.
The combination
of
like
we already talked about this
dirt
somewhere.
And firewood.
Yeah.
I also like the Home Depot smell.
Oh, yeah. Wood.
One of my like best
tweets.
What's
that, new wood?
Oh, I should pin that tweet. But one of my favorite tweets was like, Home Depot smells like dads.
Yeah,
it does.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
What else?
I just have here Bob Ross.
Oh yeah, so Bob Ross is on Netflix.
Yeah,
and it makes you happy.
I got to tell you, I was having a couple shitty days in a row where I couldn't get myself out of funk. And then I realized I saw Bob Ross while I was flipping through the thing. And I've already wanted to get out of my, like, I've been watching the same shit over and over again for too long.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is the perfect new thing, because it's not some, like, new thing that's going to be, like, overproduced and, like, if I don't like it, it's just going to feel like a waste. I know it's good. I don't remember anything good about it except for, like, the memeable shit. Like,
right.
Bob Ross painting Pretty Little Trees or whatever.
Right, Happy
But I remember,
trees.
Right, when I was, like, real little, I used to get so excited when that shit was on TV and I would stop anything I was doing to watch that. And so I watched a couple episodes, me and Zoya, and it instantly fucking put me in an amazing mood.
Yeah.
No one's ever loved anything as much as Bob Ross loved painting.
Yeah.
And you can't help but be happy, even if you don't give a shit about painting, which most people don't.
No, yeah.
You can watch that for hours and just be like ultra secondhand happy for this dude that he loves what he's doing so much.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. And I remember thinking, like, I watched that at my grandparents' house so much that it started like unlocking weird, like, memories of my grandparents and, like, of their house and, like,
stuff you hadn't thought about.
It was weird.
Stuff.
It was
cool.
Real weird.
I feel like Bob Ross is, like, pure joy.
Yeah. Seems like it.
Like, you can't say anything bad about it.
No.
You can laugh at it and you could be like, this is, like, ridiculous.
He,
like, look,
says
at this guy.
Very ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
There's one in the beginning of, like, episode two or some shit like that, halfway through the episode. He's just holding a wild baby squirrel.
Yeah, and it's his squirrel.
And he's feeding the squirrel with a syringe and a nipple on the syringe. He's feeding it milk.
Yes.
In the middle of painting,
and I guess
cuts away from painting.
It's like his squirrel, right?
Yeah.
Keep talking. I got to unlock the door.
So what happens
is... He's kind of a weirdo.
He goes from, I want to say, painting cliffside seascape. In the sunset, all kinds of... Rig? Excuse me.
I stepped on a piece of plastic.
Just now?
Yeah, this. It hurt real bad. It's my fault.
Well, that's... It's like getting stung by a bee almost.
It is. I got stung by my own bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I chopped off that piece of plastic and it's on the ground still.
You messed up.
I fucked it. Yeah, he's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
But
he's a glorious,
he's so,
happy weirdo.
He's so innocent.
At one point, he's like, I love having friends of all ages. I got children come over and they feed the animals.
Yeah.
And it was starting to get a little weird until you realize, like, that's Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Let him have an 11-year-old friend.
Yeah, he's a, yeah, there's nothing weird about it.
No.
That would have come out already.
Yes.
If something was weird about it.
Yes, nothing slips.
But he's just an innocent... Fun guy.
Just an innocent, fun man.
Yeah. Is a funsman.
What up, girl?
Bree!
How are you?
Sorry, we're wrapping up the podcast.
Rig?
I think he's pure joy, and that's why I love kind of playing a weird version of him as Dave and Ross.
Yeah.
Not to bring it to my characters or whatever.
No. It's because I also love that.
Thanks,
and
man.
You see where, like, certain ideas came from.
Yeah.
Too. Like, when he really beats the shit out of the brush to get that water
does,
off there.
He does, and I love it.
And then you took that to a different level.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. It's very
He brought
funny.
His, like, son on an episode. Did you see that?
I didn't see that one, but I saw a picture of that one.
Look it up online. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I might incorporate that into the Dave and Ross.
You should definitely do that without question.
All right, well, it doesn't feel right to do a history road without Owen here.
Yeah, smart.
But I'll do a short one I just got today.
So you're
gonna
do it anyway.
I've got so many here, just waiting. I've got weeks of fucking history roads.
Yeah.
Some people are calling it History Lane.
History Lane? That's off of History Road.
I gotta sneeze.
What if I... did a garage band. Isn't there a thing that's like an easy it's like easy play or some shit like that, and you just play?
No, this is a super short one. It's like it doesn't even need music. It's so short.
Okay, because I could do smart strings.
Don't worry about it unless you want to.
I'm really excited
so
about
short,
maybe
Mike.
Doing smart strings.
It's so short, it'll like not be, it'll ruin your smart strings situation.
You don't
try.
Want me to press the spot.
Go ahead,
right
do it.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's from Giovanni G. And the subject is, "Ciao, Steve E. Mix."
Steve E. Mix. She was the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac.
And in the subject, it says, "Giovanni Golinella." That's it. That's seriously it. That's it. "Ciao, Steve E. Mix." "Giovanni Golinella."
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, metronome. Get that metronome going.
That's the only wrong button I could have pressed. Sure. That
"Ciao,
was great.
Steve E. Mix." "Giovanni Golinella." All right, guys. You got a real extra long one on this episode because Mike and I, we were at VidCon last week and we did the Cloverfields episode the week before. So Dynamic Banter kind of took a little hiatus. But we're back. And we did our commentarium, which if you haven't heard it yet, it's you just find the Cloverfields podcast on iTunes or Spreaker or HeadGum. And you just look for Cloverfields and you listen to that last one. It's the commentary for 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Also, can't stress enough about how much the rating and reviewing podcasts on iTunes really helps.
Yeah, it's very appreciative. And also, if you have a second to write a little review there on iTunes, or if you want to leave a comment on the podcast on Spreaker, or the HeadGum site, I love that. And there's also a subreddit. There's a Dynamic Banter subreddit, r/Dynamic Banter on Reddit. And
awesome.
Yeah, there's this guy whose name escapes me now, but I'll give him a proper plug another time, who created the subreddit. And you can talk about episodes there or what have you, and I think that's nice. And I check it. I check it, and if you guys have questions there, I will answer when I can. Or if you guys want to send us your history roads or send us just some nice words that you would like us to read on the podcast or just some sort of interesting story, you can send that email to dynamicbanter@gmail.com. And that's it. I'm glad we're back, Mike.
Yeah, me too.
We'll talk about VidCon next time.
Look at how easy this was.
It's good to talk about things that happen as far away from when it happened as possible.
Yeah, we're going to cover next Christmas.
We're going to
cover last Christmas next time.
Last Christmas in the next episode. Love this new setup, guys. Let us know what your thoughts are on the audio quality and stuff, because I want to make sure that this money I spent was well worth it. It already is.
We could still return it.
No, it's just so easy. I'm going to keep it, obviously. That was a joke. But I love it so much, and I'm going to use it for other stuff, too. But yeah, nobody gave me this. I had to buy it. So I'm not saying thanks to Zoom or anything like that.
Thank you, Zoom. Yeah.
Thank you, Zoom.
For making a beautiful, great thing.
Great product that I recommend if you want a podcast.
That I have no problem buying.
Not at all. Drop the coins if you got it. But Mike, thanks for coming here on the show that's yours too. And, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll check you out next time.
That was a HeadGum podcast.